Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you. Dusty is off for the next week and a half. Mac Morey is riding shotgun alongside for the next 10 days or so. Just plug it in there. You got it. I think. I hope. Should be. You got some sound over there?
Yeah.
Talking to the microphone. There it is. Our guy Marlins man, Lawrence Levy, in studio with us. You saw him the other night at the game. And here we are just kind of going through, you know, your era as Marlins, man. It's been over a decade now, and you keep coming back, man. You keep coming back to Kansas City. Why do you love us so much?
I love it because of two reasons equally. One, the amazing history of this city that goes back 100 years that has, and I was doing those moments of things that happened, and so many people in Kansas City don't know how many things happened historic in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was the people that from the first day I was here, they made me feel like I was part of their family. I can't explain how different that is in other places.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying about the World Cup. There's so much negativity about the World Cup, and the hotel rooms aren't filled, and this isn't that, and this isn't the way we want it. The tickets are too high. I'm like, when people come to Kansas City, they're going to experience the people, and it's going to be a completely different experience for everybody.
Yeah, and the people who go to the World Cup, they expect high ticket prices, and they expect a lot of things they're not going to get in Kansas City. They expect congestion. They expect rude people. That's not going to happen here.
Right.
Everybody, you know, one of the things I noticed when I came here, and the only other city I saw it ever happen in was Cincinnati, was everybody was grateful that people were here. And when the Cincinnati had the All-Star game one year, they were so happy. They treated everybody like, welcome here. We want you to enjoy your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Kansas City is. And I've come back, as you said, I started coming here in 14, and I came here as a Giants fan, and I left as a Royals fan. True story.
So then where does the Marlins jersey come up then?
Oh, you haven't been watching TV for a while.
He's young. He's young.
I mean, I've seen you my whole life. I remember.
Yeah, you might want to Google that. And just there's a lot of videos and stories. But basically, it happened accidentally. The Marlins changed their colors and only wore jerseys that are orange. And now a lot of teams do this to day games. And Jose Fernandez, may rest in peace, and Stanton had decided that they're only going to wear orange at home and on day games. And the Miami Heat got really good with LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Wade. And all of a sudden, they scheduled a playoff game at the exact same time as a Marlins game. So the Marlins knew nobody's going to our game for that. So they moved the game to 1 o'clock, claiming it was weather problems. There was no weather. And I wore my orange. Now when I go to the arena, it was the very, very first game where everybody's going to wear the same color, but it's because a bank had given white shirts to everybody. Somebody stole my shirt. I walked in, and they were losing the Indiana Pacers by like 14, came back and won. And Mike Miller, who's a Gator, said, hey, wear that lucky orange Gator shirt next time. I go, it's not Gators. Can you read the front? It says Marlins. Oh, yeah, whatever. Just wear it. So they
That's
won
awesome.
Every game I went to. And then my girlfriend at the time, I'm not going to give her name, said in Miami, if you wear that ugly jersey on the Sunday, you're not going to get lucky tonight when we go to dinner. So I didn't wear the jersey. We went to the Heat game, and they lost.
They lost. Did you get lucky, though?
My phone blew up that night, including LeBron James and Chris Bosh wrote to me and said, you better wear that jersey. And I wore it all the way until they finally won a championship the first time with that team. True story.
Wow.
That's how it started.
That is awesome.
Did you get lucky?
But
that
I wasn't
at dinner,
Marlins
though?
Man. Oh, you're going to love this. I was the creamsicle.
Yeah.
I was the white-orange guy. So I was called the creamsicle wherever I went. Oh, the creamsicle's there again.
That's
creamsicle.
Great.
Creamsicle. And then when I got to San Francisco for the playoffs, and I think 12, it was against the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
They changed my name. By the way, that's a great question. When's the last time there was a World Series sweep?
A World Series sweep? I'm going to guess it was that Tigers-Giants one in 2010?
That was the one with Panda and everything. And that was the one where they had Verlander and they had Scherzer and they were just totally loaded. They were a huge favorite and they got swept.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really taught me the underdog can always do it. Now I come to Kansas City and I'm thinking it's like cowboys and Indians and cattle everywhere from all the movies I've seen. And where's Dorothy and Toto?
Right.
You know? And I was blown away and I was staying in the Sheraton Crown Center where MLB stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the history of it being the Hyatt Regency. So I started doing, and I researched it and I did a lot of stuff as a lawyer. I got the report, OSHA and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video called Marlins Media Moment about the whole thing that happened, how it happened, why it happened,
sure,
and how important it was for law because it started the phrase joint and several liability. And then I started going other places and I learned about at Union Station, the reason why FBI guys have machine guns and stuff is because when they were bringing some guy to go to prison in Leavenworth, his gang broke him out and had a shootout and they had machine guns and the police only had guns. Everybody got wiped out and the holes are holes are still there in Union Station. And then I also learned that, like, people don't know the Kemper Arena, which you don't use anymore, was where Ronald Reagan got nominated for the presidency.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And then that whole area was called like the stockyards mm-hmm. and it's where everybody stopped to load up their wagon train before they went west to explore.
Yeah.
And this was like the main place. And the what I know is it's, the buildings have names on them. And when you Google and read about the names, it's like where all the silver buck things were made. Oh, and then I went over to, when I went to visit the firemen in Station 10 and 17, who unfortunately passed away, and I helped them out. They said, you should go over to with the something in Vine. It's in the song.
Yeah, 18th and Vine.
18th and Vine.
Yep.
And I expected it to be like this whole big neighborhood, you know, from the song, and it's all like bulldozed now.
Yeah.
And I learned that that used to be like a really big part of Kansas City, but they had a fire or something was wood and it burned down. So there's very unique historical things about this place.
There are, yeah.
And every time I come here, I learn something. I learned something this time, which I wrote to you about yesterday.
Yeah, about that fountain. I'd never seen it. And I sent it to Diane Houston, obviously, and she goes, what is this? I got to go do more research. Like, okay. She was hook, line, and sinker on this.
I'm a good beaver.
Yeah, you
okay?
are. Yeah.
And what I found out is I have never seen a fountain that's two blocks long. It starts on Broadway and 18th. It goes down to Broadway and 19th. And then it turns and goes from Broadway to another thing by gravity. And what it's designed is the water will come running down the whole thing, the whole city block, turn and go the other way. And it's also like gardening there. I go, what's going on? So I wrote to a lot of people. And it turned out that used to be the NCR building. It also was called the Broadway Building, and they had a big plaza. Everybody in Kansas City would hang out, and that was the fountain outside that ran all the way, a whole street, and turned. But when they knocked, and there used to be a lot of buildings there, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they knocked down that area and they were building the arts area and all the newer things, they decided to keep that and try and make it something that preserves by nature a self-sufficient city block.
That's cool.
And that's what they're doing there.
That's awesome. I mean, you know more about Kansas City than people who live through their whole lives.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
Seriously.
I mean, it's great
it's awesome.
Stuff. I love the history side.
Right,
of
I heard
things,
something so. I'm going to ask you. I just heard this today.
All right.
Is it true that the Chiefs are going to be playing Denver Broncos for the first game in the NFL season?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes. Sir. We don't know where, though. That's the problem.
We don't know where.
We don't know where. We don't know if it's in Denver or here.
So,
they haven't announced
so people
the location.
Are asking me, when's my next Chiefs game?
Yeah.
And my answer would Chiefs, not Royals.
Yeah.
Chiefs, my answer would be I would come to that game if it's a night game. I will never do day games anymore.
Why is that?
Why?
I get too faint. I don't do good in the heat.
Gotcha.
And I don't like that at all. So if it's a night game, hopefully it'll be like a Sunday night or something.
Yeah, Monday
Kansas
night
City,
football. It's Monday night, but I'm guessing it's going to be on the road in Denver.
You know, we talked about this at lunch the other day. One of my favorite games of all time had been the Royals in Houston, when Houston thought they had won,
mm-hmm.
and they announced they won, and the governor said that.
Right.
But then I came
what
here.
What a jackass. I remember the governor releasing
text
that.
Out, congratulations for going to the World Series,
yes,
guys.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oops.
Oops. So,
Governor Abbott was his name back in the day.
It got replaced by the incredible, which you guys call the 13-second game.
Yeah.
But for the last 2.5 minutes of that game, with the Bills and the
Chiefs. You were at that game, right?
I was 50-yard line, row one, dead center, surrounded by Buffalo fans. What I was telling you is every time they got the lead, they were torturing the Chiefs fans in Volgren. There was lots of fights. And the police would come down, and they would take out whoever started the fight. And by the end of the game, the first two rows at the 50-yard line were empty except me. I was the only one left. Everybody else from Buffalo had been arrested and taken outside. And then one of the officers said to me, they won't tell their friends they got arrested. They're all going to tell them they were there for that game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But
yeah,
that whole thing, and that's when I said, and that's the one with Tyreek Hill, he was still on the Chiefs.
Yep.
Tyreek had run that punt back and everything. And I had never seen so many lead chains as such an emotional swing. The only time I saw something like that in Kansas City personally was the game when they had the ice storm coming.
Oh, yeah, that right. That's it.
And it supposed to be the world's largest ice storm. So you moved the game against the Steelers to the night.
Yeah.
And then no storm came.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yep. Well, that game, you didn't score a touchdown and you only had a couple, you know, like four field goals.
Right.
And then at the very, very end of the game, you scored a touchdown. Like a minute to go in the game or so, maybe a minute and a half. Uh-huh. Everybody's celebrating. Yeah, we won. We're going to the playoffs. You know, I got like 80 people I brought to the game. I only knew like 10 of them, but I brought like 80 people to the game at the club level so we'd stay warm. And I'm all excited. We're all high-fiving. All of a sudden, you go, wait. They're not lining up for the extra point. What's going on here? I don't see the flag where we're going on. And, of course, Chiefs didn't win to the Steelers. And that's the video I sent you. That I just a little while ago when you catted here, and
that was before that game,
right? Before that game, and we all went outside after the pep rally here with everybody in the band, and we were throwing stuff at the quarterback.
The eggs.
We were throwing eggs at the quarterback for the Steelers, the big thing outside in the parking lot. So I said, I love this place. This is me.
This is awesome.
I fit in here. This is like being at Florida State. If you ever go to Tallahassee, you're in the middle of nowhere. You got to drive 2.5 hours in every direction to find anything. You are alone. You're isolated.
Yeah.
You got 2.5 hours to Jacksonville. You got 2.5 hours to Alabama. You got 2.5 hours. You're in the middle of nowhere. And when I came to Kansas City, I got that same feeling. Like everybody knows each other. We're all on the same team. I used to have a phrase a long time ago, but when I first started coming here, in New York, they stab you in the back. In Kansas City, they have your back.
Yeah.
And that is what we mentioned. The reason I mentioned, as you mentioned, people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I noticed. And I met everything from, I've met the most richest people here, like let's say Cliff, the homeless people. They're all nice. I brought so many people to games, and I've met some of the most wonderful. I'm still friends with so many. I was even looking at my phone. I got like 400 people that are friends of mine in Kansas City. I have like 400 contacts in there. And as you know, not only did I help the firemen, but then they learned what I stood for, which was pay it forward and do good things to people. And then by accident, total by accident, we're mentioning this now because it happened at the game the other day, Hazel Grove Elementary had this girl named Carla, the phys ed teacher, bring to me little cartoons the whole class made. So I said, I'm going to go visit them. When I went to visit them, I thought I'm just going to go visit one elementary class. The whole school spent like 2 hours doing skits and songs. Every grade, everybody was doing something. I just started crying. So I said, you know what, guys? And this became my message that was so popular. I was invited to so many schools in Kansas and Missouri that these kids see me on TV. And they kind of like worship me because they see me on TV. They don't know me. And I don't worry about them. And I don't take care of them. And here they are worshiping the Kardashians or LeBron James. He's not going home worried about them. The one that worries about them are their parents and their teachers. And I was teaching the kids, I want you to go home tonight, hug your mom or dad, hug them. I want you to count to three, one, two, three, slowly, and then say, I love you. And then tell me what you want for Christmas. You're probably going to get it. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that started being my thing. I went everywhere. Well,
you're
kids.
Getting emotional. I've never seen
you emotional
like this.
I know. I was crying. So what happened was kids came up to me on Sunday. You came to my elementary school. You came to Lawton, Kansas. You came to Lawrence. You came to Weston, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You went all over. And I said, when I went to Weston, it was crazy.
Great town.
Yeah. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
It's small.
Yeah. It's nice. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's small.
Yeah.
And when I got there, everybody was there. The mayor, the police chief. They closed pretty much the city to have at the high school a rally for me. And they gave me baskets. And I thought I was like, you know, like an ambassador from England showing up to that city. And that's how they treated me.
Yeah.
And so people were telling me, you came to my school. And I went home and I hugged and kissed my mom and dad. And they said, you were right. We seemed today with social media. This is the kids talking.
Mm-hmm.
we seem with social media to worship people we see who we don't even know. And we overlook our teachers and our parents and the first responders who would risk everything to make sure we're okay. Mm-hmm. I used to tell the kids, hey, see that guard over there? You hate him. You're saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. But if a shooter was here, he'd take a bullet to protect you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stand up, everybody clap, and thank the teachers and thank the security guards. So I'd have the whole school stand up. And then I'd have them go, let's go, Royals, clap, 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 clap. Right. That was big.
That's awesome. That Marlins awesome. Man in studio. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
With the legend next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Tune in to hear Royals insider Josh Vernier every Monday at 8:20.
Professor Vernier sitting up here, bloviating.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5, The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.